I'm Clive Riddle, president of MCOL, and welcome to our Payers and Providers California podcast interview with Henry Lubet, CEO of Bohemia Health. We've teed up a number of questions to ask Henry about his California healthcare experiences. Prior to establishing Bohemia Health, Henry has served as CEO of Paladin Healthcare Alliance, Chief Strategy Officer at Keenan, CEO of United Healthcare's Western Region, and President of HealthNet.
So, Henry, what has changed the most in California healthcare since the start of your career?
Yeah, I'd say it's ever-changing. I mean, if I would have to pick one thing over the last 25 years in terms of my career, I'd say the biggest changes are one, the ACA, and I think that represented somewhat like Medicare and Medicaid under President Nixon in the 60s, that the ACA was definitely a tidal wave change relative to President Obama and the introduction of that, which I believe is, I don't know, 2009, but and then ultimately when it was passed. So on the setting up of exchanges, the fact that 20 more million Americans have become insured under the program, however imperfect that may be, ACOs and many other things, I'd say unfortunately one of the biggest disappointments that is now occurring is the what I would best define as the chaos and the kind of uncertainty of the dismantling or the attempt to dismantle the Affordable Care Act. And, you know, hopefully a number of those things will not take place, though some certainly seem like they are. The second is maybe Medicare Advantage. And as I say these days, one of the few things where there's agreement from the prior administration under President Obama and now under President Trump is the kind of the tailwinds around Medicare Advantage and the recognition that providing an integrated care delivery approach towards with aligned incentives, as is there under Medicare Advantage plans in most cases, especially in California, where I believe overall there's about 50% penetration, ever growing, and even in other parts of the country, because I'm fortunate to work nationally, just seeing a lot of interest and focus and support under Medicare Advantage. So the third area I might say is I think there's been, unfortunately, and last thing is with the relationships with health plans and providers, for the most part, have, I think, deteriorated over the years. And I do see some positive aspects of that in the last few years, but by and large, I just think you know, there's lots of turnover in health plans, a lot less turnover that I see at medical groups and health systems, but I just see a fair amount of friction and challenges that hopefully, you know, I used to pride myself as a former health plan president of really trying to establish the best relations possible, recognizing the economic challenges of providing affordable care, but and I really try to pride myself on that in my history at HealthNet and United Healthcare, but you know, I don't see that as strong these days, unfortunately.
Okay, well, if putting on now just thinking about a hat of thinking about just California, what are some of the relatively unique attributes of California healthcare in your thinking compared to other parts of the country?
Yeah. Well, I think first and foremost, actually, is Kaiser. I've competed a fair amount of my career with Kaiser, though when I was at Keenan in the employee benefits consulting space, we partnered quite closely with Kaiser and did over $700 million in business with them. But historically, as a health plan president, have competed against Kaiser in my career. But I think far and away, Kaiser is the most successful integrated healthcare delivery system and approach, including health plan hospitals and physicians in the country. And you know, I would say they're hitting it these days under Bernard Tyson and Dr. Artie Southam and others' leadership. Many of the folks that I know are really hitting the ball out of the park, and to their credit, you know, the establishment of their KP Connect and KP.org on the technology side, and around their EMRs, around their scheduling, around their analytics is just second to none. And I think you know, it's ironic, but when I talk to people who never, ever, executives in particular, but even other white-collar workers who would never consider on the commercial side Kaiser, with the new buildings, with the physicians, with the new hospitals and medical offices, to Bernard and Artie and Paul Swenson and others' credit, they've really, Bill Caswell, people I know well, they've really, I think, reinvented Kaiser. Second of all is, you know, kind of the Me Toos, the health plans. You know, the second thing is just like Kaiser, the non-Kaiser system, as on the commercial and Medicare side, has, you know, been a leader in the fully capitated integrated delivery system model. So even outside of Kaiser, though Kaiser's been incredibly successful, Medicare Advantage as well, you've seen, you see health plans, you know, having a much different payment system, of which ACOs in many ways mimic in other parts of the country. Hospitals are doing more in terms of aligned incentives. There's been also an increase in provider-sponsored health plans, so like Stanford and Sharp and Sutter, three leading health systems, all have their own health plans. Dignity does to some degree. I don't think you see that as much in other parts of the country. I always like to give pros and cons. I would say, though, I think California, Clive, has gotten complacent in terms of the overall health system in many cases. And I say complacent, I mean kind of resting on the laurels of the capitated model and haven't necessarily taken it to the next level. So when I was involved more in health plans, and I'm still on the board of a medical group, I think there used to be more creativity, more innovation, a more dynamic approach to the market, and I think there's some amount of complacency that I've witnessed while other parts of the country are attempting to be more innovative.
Okay. Well, you've already, you know, talked about kind of the national ACA-related issues. Putting that aside, what do you think are the current challenges really at the forefront confronting California healthcare that concern you the most right now?
So I would say, you know, affordability, affordability, affordability. Right. With what's happening on the ACA side, if in fact Trump is successful in eliminating the $7 billion in subsidies, not of which California is, you know, probably $1 billion of that, I'm just guessing, or projecting, excuse me. I think that's the a major challenge that's confronting California healthcare, and could see premium increases, unfortunately, you know, 40% or more if, in fact, these subsidies are eliminated. I think I am concerned that Anthem's pulled out a lot on the individual side. I don't begrudge them for doing that. They've got to make the best decisions possible. But I think that's, you know, that'll be a challenge in the market that needs as much supply as possible. I think, though, you know, Medicare Advantage on the surface seems to be, and I'm involved a lot with a company called eHealth on the I'm promoting Medicare Advantage. I still think you'll see a number of challenges with health systems that, and medical groups and IPAs that get allured by the opportunity, then they get capitated, and then they don't make it, and thus then the consumer and patient get caught in the middle, and so I think that could be a challenge. I think fourth, speaking to hospital CEOs and CFOs with Medicaid reimbursement in particular, and now, as I understand it, there's 2 million less insured since Trump took office on the commercial side, that I think we've got hospitals have an incredible amount of pressure of financially, and you're seeing that all throughout the country and in California. I mean, Dignity announced, I believe, was a $66 million loss recently. And if you follow some of the hospital reports like Becker's and others, you'll see the financial challenges. And I know California Hospital and Healthcare Association under Dwayne Dauner's leadership does a great job, but the reimbursement in Medi-Cal and other an increasing amount of uninsured have created an incredible amount of pressure on hospitals to perform. And I'd say the last one may be just the whole area of IT and the ability to have information systems that are significant. Unfortunately, I forgot one other one, Clive, and that has to do with the physician supply, especially on primary care. Mm-hmm. I think it's a problem in California healthcare.
Okay. Well, let's switch gears for a second. You know, you've had quite a storied career. Let's look at that for a moment. And I'm just curious, what person influenced your career in healthcare the most, and in what way?
So if I had to pick a person, I guess I would say Clive B. Roger Greaves. Roger's still involved, and I believe on the board of HealthNet and Centene. He met with the acquisition by Centene. Has gone off the board. I'm not 100% sure, but Roger was, you know, he had the confidence to, appoint me as president of the HealthNet at the time, the Northern and Central California, and then I had a lot of corporate responsibilities as well. And I have to say, I may not have been on the surface really qualified to take on a responsibility of that magnitude. You know, I'm happy to say we grew the plan from 30,000 members to over 250,000 members in 3 years, which was unprecedented, and a lot of reasons why that happened, but a lot of it was just Roger's mentoring, Roger's willingness to let me really lead, and a whole variety of efforts. It really stimulated the provider partnerships that we were able to form, and just was a great leader in building the delegated capitated model that HealthNet was so well known and recognized for. And so, yeah, if anyone who's, if I have to name one person, definitely would be Roger. I'd say the second person is Jim Carlson. When I was at United, he hired me there. I ran 10 Western states plus international in Asia. And again, Jim, similar to Roger, is just a great leader, mentor, thinker, innovator. Jim ultimately became CEO of Amerigroup, the big Medicaid plan that was then acquired by Anthem. But yeah, so I would say those two, but Roger in particular.
Okay, well, just as Roger or Jim gave you advice, what advice would you give to someone who's just starting their administrative career in healthcare, whether they're at a health plan, a provider organization, or in benefits management, whatever? Well, what advice would you give them?
Sure. So recently, and I went to graduate school at the University of Pittsburgh, and the university was kind enough to have me lecture there for a couple days on a program they call the Integrated Healthcare certificate program, and many folks recognize University of Pittsburgh and UPMC as real leaders in the country. I don't think there's anything like them in California, for example, and they get more and more recognition. And so there I did actually talk to graduate students and even to faculty, and in terms of advice, I mean, I had no real reason that I've been fortunate to obtain what I've been able to attain in many respects. So I tell people to have courage to really build relationships and go the extra mile in terms of learning and as much as possible. Sometimes a few people call me a sponge of information because that's why I really enjoy being on the board of MCOL and some of the other boards I've been able to do. So I'd strongly suggest folks try to get involved either in an advisory capacity, volunteer capacity with boards or other entities, whether it be health plans, provider organizations, or on the employee benefits side. Be willing to take entry-level positions where they see growth opportunities, and also look at non-traditional approaches to healthcare. And finally, I guess I would say, you know, be loyal to the organization that you're with. You know, always support the organization, even if you may think privately some things you don't like, but publicly you always need to do that. But and don't be afraid. I don't know, a number of people, I have to say, tell me that I'm one of the executives they think is just says what he thinks. And, you know, we all are faced with situations someone starting or healthcare, you know, that you have to be politic and you have to be mindful of not challenging the status quo. I've kind of taken the opposite stance. I'd say it's mostly helped me, although I call it 80-20. Sometimes it's hurt me by being sometimes, you know, too candid or too off the cuff or whatever. But I think people should err on the side of, you know, saying what they think. But definitely study and learn and be part of as much thing. And, you know, just really got to work hard.
Oh, thanks. You talked earlier about how, the uniqueness of California healthcare is the largest thing is Kaiser. And, you know, the admiring, you know, what they're doing. But, you know, California also is known for innovation just as a whole, whether it's, you know, outside of healthcare. Do you see any recent innovations coming out of California that you think will have a significant impact in healthcare?
So I'm fortunate, and I know we'll talk later about that, Clive, but I think some companies are doing some really exciting things. Actually, just today I was with Sean Duffy, who's the CEO of a company, a digital health company called Omada Health. And Omada is a real leader in diabetes, pre-diabetes, and now diabetes management and moving into other areas by taking a real consumer and patient-centered approach, blending technology and service to deal with clearly one of the most pressing issues that faces the American population, given the obesity and other areas that affect pre-diabetics and diabetics. So I think organizations like Omada in particular are really leading the way, thanks to funding through venture capitalists and seeking new opportunities. This week I'm going to be meeting with One Medical, another leading company, and then with Amir Rubin, who's a great addition as CEO of formerly head of Stanford at One Medical, and so they're doing some really exciting and innovative things primary care delivery side of things. So I think we're seeing some of those innovations. I think on the PBM side, though it's more national, but I'll talk later about a company I'm involved with called Empirix, but there's so much focus on drugs and drug costs, that there's new approaches on the PBM side to take a much more, again, patient-centered approach, not just focusing on discounts, but focusing a lot more on the better delivery, more generics, outcomes-based and such. And then finally, I'm involved with a company. A lot of attention as recently as today with on the opioid abuse area. So there's a company I'm involved with called Chess, and they're trying to take unique and innovative approaches from a digital side and service delivery side to that area. And then in dealing with that in an innovative way. And finally, a company out of Silicon Valley called eHealth, well-known company, been around for 20 years, who's focusing on improving and enhancing the provider systems and health plans in Medicare and Medicare Advantage. I'm a huge supporter, as I said earlier, of Medicare Advantage. And eHealth has developed among the most innovative platforms in the country that's quite unique. So it's a national program, though based in California, and they're enabling increased enrollment for health systems and consumers to really make the best selection for their Medicare plans. And when consumers in this platform are presented with every option available to them, 89% of those consumers and Medicare recipients are picking Medicare Advantage on their own volition. So anyway, those are some of the more exciting things I'm seeing in California healthcare and somewhat nationally.
Well, that really leads me to our final question here, and you talk about your involvement with some of that. I think everybody's going to be curious. You know, tell us about what you're up to now.
Yeah, so I, you know, most of my background has been as a CEO and executive at United Healthcare and HealthNet, and also a company that HealthNet acquired, and some health plan background before that. I was in hospital administration when I first moved to California, a Stanford-affiliated county hospital called Santa Clara Valley Medical Center, and then spent a number of years recently with Keenan, a large employee benefit and consulting firm. Now just recently acquired themselves. But so I decided I'd kind of step out, at least for now, out of corporate America. So, Clive, I formed an LLC called Bohemia Health, and essentially it's a business development, innovation, growth, and consulting company really focused on working with and partnering, collaborating with a really short handful of what I'll call leading-edge companies and help them and give them the relationships and hopefully knowledge that I have to advance what they're doing. So eHealth is a company. I mentioned them earlier, so I don't have to go over that, but I've been helping them lead this among the leaders with them advancing their Medicare Advantage, I call it consumer, or we call it consumer engagement platform for health systems. And fortunate that this annual open enrollment is starting right now. They initially started, and I give a lot of credit to Sutter, who partnered with eHealth to launch this about a year ago. We now have 9 health systems launching this as we speak right now. So leading edge systems like in Northern California, John Muir and Stanford, Southern California, Providence and Memorial Care, Summit in New Jersey are among the plans that are partnering with eHealth to try to add to their Medicare Advantage footprint. And this will continue to expand and grow, and I think will become known in the marketplace. So that's probably where I'm spending the majority of my efforts helping to grow and develop that. I'm also working, Clive, with a few other companies. I work with Dr. Arnie Milstein, whom many folks know at the Stanford Clinical Excellence Research Center that Arnie started about 5 years ago. So trying to help Stanford advance that. I'm working, so that's a main collaboration that I have with Dr. Milstein. And then I've been working with Pinnacle Insurance Benefit Solutions with a capitated stop-loss program that they have also based out of California. And as I mentioned earlier, a lot of groups are taking risk, and when I say groups, those could be health systems, those could be health, smaller health plans, those could be medical groups, and they really need to have the proper stop-loss programs and reinsurance programs, and those aren't always available or readily known out there. And so Pinnacle Insurance Solutions has a really unique approach, given their analytics platform and other aspects of that on the stop-loss side. And then finally, I'm involved with a number of companies. I've been a long time, maybe original board member with MCOL, which is Managed Care Online, that Clive has so effectively led over the years. I'm on the board of a provider system in Southern California called GemCare that's part of Dignity Health, and I've been a board member for more than 10 years, and also was part of GemCare Health Plan before a provider-sponsored health plan that was sold to Blue Shield of California about 3 years ago. And then finally, I do some investing. Fortunately, I'm in a position to do that. So the two primary companies I'm involved in, one I mentioned earlier, Empirix, which is based out of New Jersey, which is a unique approach towards pharmacy benefit management, led by a great CEO, Bill Resnick, and a national company based in New Jersey, and finally a California-based company. I've always been involved in not-for-profits. I've started a foundation for kids. I've been involved with different healthcare organizations. I've involved with the Make-A-Wish Foundation, other things, but Anyway, one of the things we all know is happening out there is our concussions in sports, both anywhere from kids to professional sports. So I'm an advisor and investor to a company out of the Bay Area called BrainGuard, led by Dr. Robert Knight, and they're inventing and developing helmets, about to launch their football helmet that'll show a 30%+ reduction in concussions, and also want to ultimately move into baseball, motocross, bicycle helmets and such. So anything that I've done, Clive, over the years, I try to have a public policy approach to providing health care to a broader population. It's most cases in a for-profit setting, but in other cases as well in a not-for-profit setting. Dr. Knight at BrainGuard, for example, is head of neuroscience at UC Berkeley. And but anyway, those are the things I'm up to. So I'm really enjoying myself. I have an office in San Francisco and get to see a lot of folks. And, doing something that's pretty different and unique from my past.
Henry, thank you so much for, it's just awesome that you were able to share everything and your time with us, and I just very much want to thank you for sharing everything with us today.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity, Clive, as well as serving on being part of many organizations that you're involved in as well. So thanks very much.
You've been listening to our Payers and Providers California podcast interview with Henry Lubet, CEO of Bohemia Health. For more information about payers and providers, please go to payersandproviders.com.